Morning.
Good morning.
You guys turn your Bibles, book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 is where we're headed. A few things out of public reading. Jehu did a lot of great things. A lot of great things for the Lord, but he didn't go all the way, did he? The high places. That, if you think about the sins of Jeroboam. To worship God, and I use this, I have quotations on this, to worship God in your own way doesn't count. God has prescribed a way. The Old Testament, it was in the temple. The New Testament, it's in the spiritual temple. Spirit and in truth. I'm not preaching on that this morning, but guys, the reality of it is, and this is something we got to swim upstream against in our religious culture. The reality of it is, nobody going to make it into heaven with half-hearted efforts. Nobody going to make it into heaven still doing your own thing. Don't work that way. Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So let's serve Him. Let's worship Him in spirit and in truth. Don't have a lot of time this morning. I want the record to show. I'm getting started 10 minutes late. So if I go over, hey, I go till 11:40 usually anyways, but that's I think most of you guys think that's what time we get done, and that's great. So I do appreciate the stewardship today. You know, guys, that really, we talk about stewardship. The Lord's entrusted things to our care, to our management, hasn't He? And obviously, it was talked about this morning, the young people. The Lord's entrusted. And you can tell the true church of the living God has fallen down some of that in those ways. And so I appreciate Mikkel taking on that a little more organized with the in reference to the Sunday school classes. And I really appreciate all the Sunday school teachers who do it week in and week out and never really get mentioned, because unless you're in the adult class, none of the adults who call parents speak hear what you teach. And so we really, really appreciate that. I'm convinced there's things that we do in this life, we're never going to see the impact of that we make it to heaven. Jesus says we're storing up treasures. He tells us to store up treasures in heaven. Some of those treasures you're not going to see till you get there. And they count. Okay, particularly, they count across the board, but Jesus cares about young people, right? And then also the Lord's Supper meditation, just, appreciate that. God gives us opportunity. I mean, He knows what He's doing. He hasn't just set this up arbitrarily. He knows that we have a tendency to forget. So He says, do this in remembrance of Me. And that gives us an opportunity to start the week off, first day of the week, to start the week off with the right mindset. To start the week off remembering Christ. To start the week off with ready to go and to be spiritual warriors for Jesus Christ. God knows what He's doing. When He asks us to the table, He asks us for a reason. He wants us there. Jesus earnestly desired to eat that Passover with His disciples. That Passover, He says, fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When Jesus invites you, He earnestly desires to eat with you. This is the provision. What is necessary for God's spiritual army for us to carry out what He wants us to in this world. You skip the meal for the army, you're gonna run out of juice. And you won't be able to fight. You won't be able to wage war the way that God wants you to. And if you're not careful, you will end up being engulfed by the enemy. So, the Lord knows what He's doing. Appreciate all those things. As long as I'm preaching over anyways this morning, I might as well. I gotta say this today, because I have a feeling this is the only time all football season I'm gonna get to say this. Just for the record, the Bobcats won yesterday, and the Grizzlies didn't. Okay? Now, for the record, to be fair, the Grizzlies had a bye, okay? And the Bobcats play a Division II school. But it stands. The Bobcats won yesterday, and the Grizzlies didn't. I figure that's my only shot I'm going to get all year looking at those two teams, so I'm taking it. You guys are in Romans chapter 8, I hope. I'm there now too as well. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for, particularly today, Lord, we're thankful for Your Holy Spirit who indwells the Christian. We're thankful for the reminder, Lord, of who we are. We are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed Your Spirit dwells within us. I ask that You would be with me today, Lord, as I lay forth from Your Scriptures the way that a person receives the Holy Spirit. Help me to do it clearly and in a way that is consistent, Father, with the truth that You've revealed in Your Word. Lord, help us all to really, first of all, today to consider, to make sure that we know that we do have Your Spirit living within us. And then from that, in accordance with that, Lord, that we would set our mind on the things of the Spirit. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I think the last 2 weeks I've been planning on preaching this message, but I keep getting distracted by the early verses of Romans 8, which is really great stuff. But I'm going to try to start off where we pick back up where we left off last time. Two groups of people, right? We talked about, we can put a bunch of terms on here, but we talked about the lost and the saved. We talked about those who are outside of Christ. Those who are in Christ Jesus. And we talked about, this is the one that I really wanted to key in on today, that those who don't have the Spirit, or those who do have the Spirit dwelling within. And, you know, and then we talked about this big two-letter word that you see in the Scriptures. It's really important when you see this word. It means something. It's if. If. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Brother, we're not here to fool ourselves. We're not here to play the churchy game and to pat each other on the back and say, hey, you're okay, I'm okay, and we'll all make it there. I gotta be honest with you, it bothers me. You read the obituaries. Don't they always say everybody makes it? I might not be the quickest guy out there. I might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I read the words of Jesus, and He says things like, enter by the narrow gate. The gate's small, right? The way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And then in contrast, He talks about that broad path that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. There's somebody upstairs who keeping track, and He knows that when you die, you are either His or you're not. And His eternal words are that most people don't make it. Oh, God wants you to know. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 for a second. God doesn't want you to be surprised on Judgment Day. I don't know about you guys, but the tests that always bothered me in school, well, the ones after you take it, it's like, you would have had no idea any of this stuff was going to be on this test. Like where, you know, what the professor's been teaching and what he pulled out of some hidden drawer somewhere, I mean, they are two different things. Those are the ones that bothered me. Right? I want to know, hey, the stuff we're covering is what you're going to be tested on. Because our God is a just God. He is righteous. He has not left Himself without witness. The whole Gentile world, even prior to Christ, God did good, didn't He? Gave them fruitful seasons. His expectations was that the Gentiles would be able to acknowledge there was one true living God. And the Jew, He gave substantially more. But God has held us accountable for what we are to know. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, He says, hey, those times of ignorance are past. God's declared to all people everywhere. There's a day coming in which He's going to judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He's appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a guarantee of a judgment day coming. And so God wants everybody to start thinking, hey, make sure I'm ready for that day. Which of these? Where am I? Hey, we ought to be able to answer that. God wants us to answer that. God challenges every one of us to say, hey, where are you? In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, He says, test yourselves. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. You do not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. I'm looking at the clock, guys, and I don't get to make this part three because I'm leaving the Philippines. I won't be back for 3 weeks, and I know you guys will have forgotten everything. I have to preach the whole thing all over again. So I just might as well don't get too comfortable, but we're going to be here a little over. Okay, just telling you. If you got to go ahead. Just tell me later that you didn't walk out because you were mad, so I know you had an appointment and you had to go somewhere. But test yourselves. Anybody know what this little contraption is that I'm pulling out here? This thing, this little wheel, it's got some, it's white and then gets substantially more pink. If you know what this is, raise your hand. Mr. Hahn, what is this? Yeah, it measures chlorine content of the water. Okay, and we'll talk about this. Matter of fact, we'll test it later. Okay, the end of my message, Lord willing. And the purpose of this is to test your water. Does it have chlorine in it? If it has enough chlorine in it, then you should be safe from, you know, E. coli and other forms of water bugs. Let's just put it that way. Okay? So there's a way we can test. Now, some of you say, I've never seen that before. I don't know what you're talking about. Any of you ever seen one of these things? This, my friends, is pregnancy test. This is the first time I ever met Tiffany, right here, hearing about this, right? Josh Gould, if I recall, that was a very, that has stuck with me. All of those, how old's Tiff now, Josh? She's 4, and that stuck. So that stuck with me 5 years. Okay. Any of the rest of you guys that stick with you? Josh's announcement. My wife took a. He says it better than I can. Anyways, okay, we're going to talk about this. There's tests, right? You can see. There's tests. You can tell where something's at. God says, test yourself. See if you're in the faith. The reality of it is, brethren. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. I don't have time to go there this morning, but you can go to Ephesians chapter 1, and you can see that the Holy Spirit, verses 13 and 14, that's the way, my loose paraphrase of this, this is your proof of purchase, sealed in Him. Down payment, the pledge of your inheritance, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You guys, sometimes people want proof of purchase. in order to get the claim the prize, right? I remember the cereal boxes, and you cut off those the proof of purchase, and you send it in, and they send you back whatever the little prize was. Or was Cracker Jacks the same way? Or I don't remember. It seems like it same way. Proof of purchase. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the Holy Spirit through whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In some ways, guys, it is this simple. Are you in or are you out? When you die or at Christ's return, it is this simple. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you're in. If you don't, you're out. Fair enough? I'm veering off a little before. You guys could be here a long time today. I'm veering off a little. But there's a guy, and he knew. He knew what the Bible said. And we're going to talk about, because this really begs the question, how does a person receive the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? That's what we're going to go through today. But there was a guy I was talking to, and he was, I thought he believed the same things I did. But I needed to get together with him and chat about some stuff. And, the conversation took a really weird turn. He would say that a person is baptized into Christ, immersed into Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins and to get the Holy Spirit. That's one of those verses we're going to look at here shortly. But he's like, Luke, we don't know. Like, if you're on your way, let's say you're on your way to get immersed, and you get in a car crash and you die, you never got to. God's not going to keep you out for that, is he? I love hypothetical questions. When hypothetical questions get asked, I say, why do you ask? But to answer this the polite way is, look, God, who didn't spare his own son, delivered him up for us all. If your heart's right, he can keep you safe on the way to your immersion. Some of you thinking about getting immersed in Christ, hey, wear your seatbelt. Just don't test the Lord your God, okay? But what I told him, I was like, he knew. I was like, hey, Romans 8, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he didn't belong to him. How does a person receive the Spirit? That's the question we want to look at today. All right, let's get moving it here. Is salvation a free gift from God? It is, isn't it? And in conjunction with salvation, when we talk about salvation, we're really going to talk about where God's going with this is to give us His Spirit. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 11. I don't ever want us to get the wrong impression. And if you've been reading the book of Romans or through our messages in the book of Romans, one thing is clear. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a free gift of God. That's not something you can earn. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. That's not something you can earn. You don't earn gifts. But Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" It's a gift. It's in accordance with somebody asking Him. But the Scripture doesn't... That's not all that the Scripture has to say about this, is it? If that was the only verse in the New Testament about how a person receives the Holy Spirit, wouldn't you think all you would do is just ask, "Lord, give me the Holy Spirit"? We will come back to this. You better ask in faith. You better know that you are wanting to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. But that's not all that the New Testament has to say. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Use this example. I'm going to use it before. It's a good one. Mr. Bree, and the concert tickets, right? So, my friend called me up and said, I had these concert tickets. Hey, Luke, you can go to this Christian concert in town. If you want them, you can have them. I was like, I can't do it, but I know my buddy who really likes that band. I'll see him. He says, it's fine. They're yours. He can have them. If he stops, I'm going to put them in my mailbox, give me the address, that's where I are. He can just come by and pick them up. Okay? And Mikkel did that. I think he ended up going to that concert. Okay? But, so you probably knew where, I don't even know where the mail, was it in that parking lot where the, that's a long time ago. Okay? But here's one thing I can tell you. Mikkel can't just show up at that concert without the tickets. He can't just show up there and want to walk in and say, hey, it's been given to me, it's been paid in full. It would be a true statement, but he ain't getting in. Guys, the day of judgment, you aren't just going to say, oh, hey, I thought it was a free gift. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not in. Does that make sense? That's the seal. That's the ticket, if you will. Okay? So, Acts chapter 5, just a little bit more information here. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Peter and the apostles in verse 32 says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. There's some obedience required, isn't there? He's going to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. But you got to pick up the tickets. There's going to be some obedience required. How does that happen? Where is the place where we receive the Holy Spirit? How about Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Yeah, I like to think about this, guys. This is the New Testament, and this is 10 days after Jesus' ascension to glory. This is the first time that the terms of the New Testament have been publicly proclaimed. You can think about it this way, and this is the time that the reading of the estate, you know, the will of the estate, the reading is taking place here. And again, Peter and the apostles are preaching, and they lay out that Jesus is the Christ. They lay out that He died and that He's been raised from the dead. And in verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to go into all of this today the way that I wanted to, but I will say this. The Scripture sometimes talks about gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture also will talk about how do I explain this? Just the terminology alone, the gift of the Holy Spirit, doesn't tell you what that is. So I'm going to the Philippines. So Matthew bought me a gift. Okay? He bought me some sandals for wearing in the Philippines. I'm thankful for that. Okay? I could, in a very loose way, say it's a gift of Matthew. Okay? Meaning it's a gift from Matthew, but it's a okay, acceptable way to say that. Okay? It's another thing if the day I'm leaving, hey, Julie goes to take me to the airport, and Matthew hops in with it, and I was like, he's going with me. This is the gift of Matthew. Okay? To the Philippines. See, there's a difference, isn't there? We don't necessarily have enough just from Acts 2:38 to say what that is. Okay? My guess is, and we're going to go back and establish this is actually the Holy Spirit Himself, the indwelling. By the way, I do need to say in passing, guys, this gift of the gift of the Holy Spirit, if Matthew was going to the Philippines, the gift of Matthew, okay? The gift of the Holy Spirit, this is the real deal. This is where God wants to go with this. I don't know how many of you guys have ever been suckered in by one of those infomercials on TV. Okay? I've never tried it. Anything that sounds too good to be true probably is. So I haven't ever But I do notice they lay out this stuff, right? They tell you all this great stuff. And then, oh, and by the way, we will throw in for free this thing that's worth $50 or whatever value, and you can have it for free. Okay? And so I think a lot of times people think about the Holy Spirit, particularly when we're outside of Christ, when we're on this side, like somewhere we become really aware of our sins, and our sins are driving us insane. And we understand, like, they separate us from Christ, and God doesn't hear our prayers, and that, like, we got to deal with this, right? Which is good. But, guys, I want to clarify something here. The gift of the Holy Spirit, like the indwelling Spirit, is not just an extra bonus thrown in. The gift of the Holy Spirit Himself to come and dwell within us that Romans 8 talks about, that is the gift. That's what God wants to give. The reason for forgiveness of sins is God isn't going to dwell in an unclean place. We got to clean you up before He comes to dwell inside of you. But what He wants, His very intention, His goal from the beginning of this thing is to come and make His place within us. That's where He's going. And so I just want you to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Acts chapter 19. The context, the end of Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila heard this guy named Apollos. And this guy had come to Ephesus and he was mighty in the Scriptures. And I think this guy knew his Old Testament inside and out. And not only that, was he mighty in the Scriptures, he was also very eloquent and was able to communicate clearly. And he was taking on the Jewish people and talking about Jesus the Christ. But in verse 25, it says, "This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John." So Priscilla and Aquila had to come along and explain to him the way of God more accurately. That's the setting. Now, Acts chapter 19, read with me here, beginning in verse 1. "It came about that while Apollos was at Corinth," so Apollos had moved on to Corinth, "Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They said to him, 'No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you immersed?' And they said, 'Into John's immersion.' And Paul said, 'John immersed with the immersion of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who is coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus.'" You can read on. Paul ends up laying hands on them, and they get some of those gifts of the Spirit. They're speaking with tongues and prophesying. Hey, but there's a problem. Paul comes to Ephesus. My guess is he's had conversations with Priscilla and Aquila. He's good friends with them. They've told him. And his question that he asks, "Did you receive the Spirit the Holy Spirit when you believed?" No. We haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Hey, just by way of passing, guys, if you don't know, if you don't ask for the Spirit by faith, if you don't believe there is a Holy Spirit, you don't know, you can't believe about something you don't know about. You can't ask for something you don't know exists. If you don't ask, you don't get. If it's not in faith, you don't receive. Does that make sense? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is about faith, isn't it? Everything's given in accordance with faith. Paul, when he writes the Galatians, as we... he asks them, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" There has to be faith involved. You have to know. And so then Paul explains to them, and what's their response? See, when they said, "No, we haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit," he says, "Into what then were you immersed?" If they were immersed into the right thing, or I'm going to say the right someone, they should have received the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that was the problem. They say into John's immersion. John's immersion never promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. Couldn't. Prior to the crucifixion of Christ, prior to the resurrection and ascension of Christ. Okay? So, I know I'm trying to cruise through this, but faithful intent needs to be there. Okay? You need to understand. They should have received the Spirit by being immersed into Christ. Hey, we know, we'll get into that in a little bit. So when they understood, they're immersed in the name of Jesus. Go with me to John chapter 3. For the sake of time, there's one other thing I want to equate on our board here of, you know, lost, save, outside of Christ, without the Spirit, or, yeah, anyways, without the Spirit, Spirit. This would be, over here, we could say this is the world, couldn't we? Like, if you're in this group, you're in the world. You lie under the power of the evil one. If you're here, you're in the kingdom of Christ. Okay. Colossians 1:13, in case you have questions about that. Okay, but there is a very clear defining point. I'm going to just put the cross of Christ because we know that's really where that is. But how do we get from here to there? So, John chapter 3, Jesus has a conversation with Nicodemus, and in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus equates being born again with being born of water and the Spirit. Okay? Born again equals being born of water and the Spirit. You can't get into the kingdom unless you're born of water and the Spirit. Well, guess what? Okay? Romans chapter 6, verse 3. We hit this, I was going to say a few weeks ago, but it is months ago. Romans 6, verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into His death?" Guys, when we're immersed, that's how we get into Christ. When we're immersed, our sins are forgiven. Acts 2:38. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's in water, by the way. You can prove that from Acts 10:47. Our sins are forgiven. Oh, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If this is where this transpires, and the Scripture says it is, we must also receive the indwelling Spirit at that point in time. You have to know. God's done this so we know. The gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is not a gift that the Holy Spirit gives you, like those sandals. It is the gift of the Spirit Himself who comes to dwell inside of us. So, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now, why am I messing around with this? Caleb Wilson, would you go grab me a glass of water from the kitchen sink, please? I can't take this test. And thankfully, I don't remember how it works. It's been 10 years since I had to think about this. Thankful for Talia, by the way. But is it like two stripes or something? Come on, ladies, nod your head. Two stripes. The guys are like, "I have no idea." It's something like that. I know. They come, they show you two stripes. Like, "We got a kid on the way." All right. Okay. Now, it's possible. It's what, Kevin? Oh, okay. Yeah, you guys are old. They're probably figuring this out. We got Abraham and Sarah up here. That's the only way they're having any more kids. Thank you, Caleb. Mrs. Simpson is I'm in trouble with this week. I'm glad I'm getting out of the country. Anyways. Okay, so now I don't remember exactly the way this works, but it's possible if only one stripe comes up, that means you don't have what they're testing for, right? So you're not pregnant. But But you could have that, and it's not yet detectable. So you could get a false negative from this. Does that make sense? You can't get a false positive, is my understanding. If there's two stripes, you got a kid. That's my understanding of the way this works. But if you only have one stripe, you don't think you have a kid, but you're not 100% sure because it could be not yet detectable. Does that make sense? So a false negative is possible, but a false positive is impossible. That's my understanding. Get that right? All right. Whew. Amazing the things you have to learn to be able to preach. Oops, I did this backwards the way I wanted to. Well, so theoretically, here, according to John Hahn, if he's right, by the way. If we have, I'm not including you in the last test, John, sorry. But theoretically, if our water has chlorine in it here, this thing should turn pink, right? Everybody agree with John on that? It's a little tough to see, but yeah, it's definitely... Can you front guys see that thing's turning a little pink? Okay. You old guys trust the front... I mean, you back row guys trust the front guys? Sorry. It's turning pink. Good. Okay, you're safe to drink water out of the faucet if you believe our government. Okay, we're good to go there. Now, why do I bring this up at the end of this message? It is test yourself. But this is where I want to... And I am leaving this for when I get back. The scripture doesn't stop here. It is possible to get a false positive, but it's impossible in this test to get a false negative. Hear me out. You guys remember what we did the other way? I thought about bringing in an organic chemistry labs, and I said, I can't even remember that stuff. So let's... Here's the thing. If you have not been immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you cannot have the Spirit of Christ in you. There is no false negative here. However, you could be immersed. Somebody could say in the name of Jesus Christ. It could be in water. You could say it's for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the Spirit. You could say that's why you're doing it. But there could be a false positive. You might not have the Spirit of Christ in you. We'll talk about that next time. Because that's where Romans 8, just a little zinger on that in a few verses down the road. Does that make sense? Okay, so if you haven't been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know which side you're on. Okay, but just because you hit some water somewhere doesn't guarantee that you're on this side. That's what we're going to talk about in a few weeks if the Lord tarries. All right? All right, let's see. Thank you guys for bearing with me and enduring to the end.